Hello, gorgeous. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the hashtag How Does She Do It podcast. I am your host, Jessica Harlow. If you are one of the 5 billion people that has no idea who I am, you're welcome to look back to the first episode of the podcast where I give a little bit of an intro. But you can also find me on Instagram. My username is at Jessica Harlow. You can visit my blog, jessicaharlow.com, and just basically find out more information about me on there in case you're interested. But this isn't really a podcast about me. This is a podcast about you. In this podcast, I focus on bringing you guys practical advice, things to think about. One of my favorite things in the world is what Oprah calls aha moments. Basically, those moments where there's something that someone says that shifts your perspective and makes you kind of like pause and think, wait a minute, I never thought of it that way before. I want to do as much of that as possible for you guys. First and foremost, I want to thank everyone for the overwhelmingly positive feedback on this podcast. I launched the first episode last week, and I'm just so thrilled that you guys seem to be just as excited about it as I am. If you haven't yet, I would really appreciate it if you guys rated and reviewed this podcast. If you're using an iPhone to listen to this, you just go to your podcast app, click on search, type in Jessica Harlow, my show will pop up. And when you click on it, that's where you'll be able to leave a review. I'm going to be selecting a few random people from there to win stuff. When we get to about 100 reviews, it's going to be my way of giving back to you guys for being so helpful and supportive of me. The ratings and the reviews really help this podcast gain visibility and helps to push this podcast out to get it in front of more ears, which means we'll be able to grow and give you guys even more quality content, get to interview even more interesting people, and just do more of the stuff that I have planned for this podcast. So it really helps me help you guys out. Again, this is a podcast for you guys. Your feedback is super important. If there's any suggestions you have, I'm all ears. I'm here for you and I'm taking notes. Okay, well, with that said, I'd like to include a tip of the week every week before we dive into the topic of the episode. It's really important for me to give you guys tips on things that could basically save you time and money. That's kind of what I'm really focused on. It's one of the reasons why I started this podcast was that I knew you'd be able to multitask while listening to it. So in a way, it's kind of like saving time. So obviously, one of my tips would forever be listen to a podcast while you're doing mindless activities, pretty much like getting ready in the morning, going to work, school, whatever. But besides that, this week's tip is for the ladies who want to go somewhere and they need to wash their hair but don't have the time to do a full wash and dry. Some people will say to use dry shampoo. Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of dry shampoo. That's for when I have exactly zero time. And most of the time, if my hair is that greasy and I don't have time to wash it, I'll usually just use that as an excuse to do a really nice sleek ponytail, just because a sleek ponytail is so much easier when your hair is a little bit dirty. But what I recommend doing is basically washing just the front pieces of your hair, which is basically where most people tend to get more greasy anyway. So what I would do in that situation is I'll simply separate the front section of my hair, gather the rest back into a bun, then I'll take a shower cap, I'll put it on and position it just so that the only parts that are left out are the parts that I want to wash. You hop into the shower, use a tiny bit of shampoo since you're not washing all of your hair, rinse, hop out, and just dry and style that section. It's a huge time saver. And if you're really, really desperate for time and have already showered, you can do this over the sink too. It's really not that big of a deal. Also, shower caps are typically, if you have the same problem that I have with shower caps, I have very long hair, very thick hair. I have to get the shower caps that are like huge. And most of them are really hideous. I found some really chic ones that aren't expensive at all. You can find them on Amazon. I'll link those in the show notes for you guys. So you can check that out. I kind of have an agreement with my friends, P.S. Because is it just me? Nobody looks cute with a shower cap on. Well, my friends and I kind of have an agreement where just in case one of us were ever to be found dead in the shower, just like, please come remove my shower cap from my head because I don't want to be caught dead with a shower cap on. But anyway, let's jump into the point of this episode, which is I want to talk about Taylor Swift. Good old Swiftie. Because I've always basically said that she's a total psychopath, and I mean that in the best way possible. Obviously, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know her personally. I'm not saying that, like, she's for sure a psychopath. I'm just saying she's giving me lots of psychopath vibes. And again, I don't mean that in a really negative way. For those of you who might not know a lot about psychopaths, just because somebody's a psychopath doesn't mean that they're like a killer or something like that. There's a lot of people who are actually high functioning individuals who live pretty normal lives, have normal jobs, don't go out and kill people, but are technically kind of high on the psychopath scale, the psychopath spectrum, if you will. So anyway, I feel like she's pretty high on the psychopath spectrum. Because I feel like there's kind of like a borderline genius to her, sort of. Whether you like her or not, because I'm not necessarily somebody who's like, oh my god, I love Taylor Swift, I want to be her best friend. Like, not really. I don't really have that feeling for her. I'm not like a huge fan of hers. But I just think that there's a lot that people can learn from her and how she operates. Because if there's one thing that I think she's mastered, I mean, her success isn't an accident. And in this podcast, actually, I'm going to tell you something. Like, I'm big on unconventional advice, and I would love to think that I could give you something that maybe you don't get everywhere, but something that I don't think people really talk about enough is that sometimes the people that you don't like tend to be the people you can learn the most from. I mean, you can learn something from anybody, but what I've realized from my own life is that sometimes the people that you don't like, you can learn so much more by observing them than from observing somebody that you actually really do like and admire. Like, think about your enemies. Think about the people you can't stand. And if you kind of dig deep, you could really realize that realistically, like, and you don't have to admit this to anyone, like, out loud. This is, like, just between us. We don't, like, if you want to, like, make sure nobody's around when you're listening to this, go ahead and do that. But if you think about it, something crazy about the people we cannot stand is if we really think about it, there's usually actually something that they do really well or something we secretly wish that we could also do. So that's kind of like my little side note is like really think about sometimes some of the people that you don't like, whether it's people in the public eye or people you actually know, and think about what it is that kind of gets under your skin about them. Because typically it might be something that you're trying to act like you don't like, but instead it's kind of something you might like be slightly envious of in a way. So that's like my little side note. Again, I know it's kind of like controversial advice because it's like, what do you mean people that I don't like, you know, I can learn, like you could totally learn so much from observing your enemies. Whether it's because everybody kind of does something really well. And sometimes I think there's like a part of us that can dislike someone if we feel like they have a little bit of an edge by comparison to us. Now, it's not something that we'll necessarily admit to other people. We probably won't even admit this stuff. We have a really difficult time admitting this stuff, I think, to ourselves. But that's just something I think is worth considering and thinking about, like if you really were to think about that. But anyway, slightly off topic. But back to the point, what I was saying about Taylor Swift, her success is not an accident. Whether you like her or not, whether you hate her or not, whether you're a fan or not, there's definitely something where you can't really say that her success happened entirely by chance. It wasn't a whoops, how'd that work out so well? The same thing goes for people like, let's say, the Kardashians. It's even an entirely different analysis. We're just going to stick to Taylor Swift here. What makes Taylor Swift so successful, what I really believe makes her so successful, it is that she's incredibly, scarily good at this one secret to success. I came across this quote once where it was something along the lines of, the key to success is playing the cards you were given as if they were the cards you chose. So, little backstory, we all know what happened with Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian basically exposed Taylor Swift and showed that, you know what, she's not necessarily the wholesome, sweet, innocent girl that she portrays. When that all came out, I wasn't surprised for even half a second. I didn't ever buy the wholesome, sweet girl next door thing just because she's too damn smart for that. And after she fell off the face of the earth, practically, you know, after the whole thing that happened with Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, and she was being called out by her ex, Calvin Harris, she really took a step back from the spotlight after all of that. And she pretty much disappeared for, I think it was like a year or something, right? Like, she disappeared for quite a long time. And I mean, it had become really clear at that point that she was far from perfect, or far from the image of what she was trying to portray was. But here's why I wasn't surprised, because for someone that, you know, she does so many great things for her fans, I was really turned off, though, by the fact that she's gone after, like, I think there was like a couple who played her song at their wedding and then posted it to YouTube, and she like had it taken down, and she was threatening to sue all of these like little Etsy sellers who were like, you know, selling like fan merchandise and things. I mean, she's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's because of those hardcore fans that she even got to where she was. I mean, you could be the most talented, smart person in the world, but if people don't really like what you're putting out and don't choose to support you, you're not going to really get that far. If it was like a major retailer or something that was using her image and like stuff that she created, it wasn't any of those fat cats, you know, it was just normal everyday people. I'm sure most of them were probably like teens, just people that really loved her music, loved her. And it just left such a bad taste in my mouth. And I think it did for a lot of people. And I think that's what people started to see, and it kind of like turned them off to her. And all that was happening was her image was basically being torn down. Her image of being the sweet, innocent, you know, totally wholesome girl was basically not the case. She definitely was way more ruthless than she was letting on. And I mean, it's great to know that she's, you know, definitely standing up for herself. I just feel like she kind of overdid it a bit. But anyway, besides that, I kind of liked her music over the years, and I wasn't a huge Taylor Swift fan, but I did really notice that she is definitely a master manipulator in a way. And I think there's a good side to that and a bad side to that. I was excited when all that stuff came out about her, though. Not because I was like, congratulations, they like tore her down, but I was really excited because I knew she was going to be, like, when she was withdrawing from the spotlight, I was like, she's definitely not doing this just because she wants to hide and like give up. I think I was excited because I was like, I know she's plotting her comeback. I was like, I can't wait to see what she's going to do and how she's going to bounce back from this. Because if anything, she definitely doesn't, she's so, again, she's such a ruthless person from what I've seen, that I was just like, she's not going down that easy. So I knew it was going to be something to behold, because Swiftie has a really keen sense of taking whatever has happened to her, no matter if it's positive or negative, but especially it's really amazing when it's something negative, and then she turns around, she spins it in her favor. So again, she's really great at playing the hand that she was dealt as if it's the one that she picked. And it's a year later, and that's exactly what she did. She comes back and she deletes everything and everyone off of her social media. Like, everything goes like completely blank, which is a statement and a half. She unfollowed everyone. She wiped off all her images and her posts from Instagram, her Twitter, all of it. And then she starts posting some really cryptic snake videos, which was a clear nod to the snake emojis that people were bombarding her Instagram with. That I think it was that moment that caused Instagram, if I remember, it was all kind of happening, I feel like, at the same moment where Instagram started to create the feature where you're allowed to block certain words and phrases from your comment section. You're even allowed to start turning off your comments on certain photos if you'd like to. I'm not sure. I haven't looked this up, but I feel like it was that whole fiasco that basically created that feature. So very interesting just to think about the impact that it all had. But anyway, I saw the snake video and I was like, okay, I see what's happening here. She's basically owning her shit. She's taking back her power in a way, like, hey, yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm not the, you know, wholesome, sweet bubblegum, you know, image that I've portrayed all this time. I'm not exactly who you think I am. Here's some of the stuff I've done. The rumors are true. But like, now what? Like, after all of this, what are you going to possibly use against me this time? I feel like this was kind of like her 8 Mile moment. If you've seen the movie 8 Mile, you'll remember that at the very end, there's the rap battle. And instead of Eminem's character focusing all of his energy on simply taking down the guy that he's battling against, which is basically what the whole all the other rap battles were like throughout the movie. It was all just about they were each going after each other. Instead, he turned around and did the unthinkable. He turns around and basically almost rap battles himself, sort of, because he goes down the entire list of everything his opponent could possibly use against him, so that by the time it was the other guy's turn, he had absolutely nothing to say. And there's a huge power in that, in owning what's not so great about you, what's not so great about your life, what's happened to you, what you've done, because when you do that, you leave absolutely nothing and no room for someone else to hurt you with, in a sense. And that's what I'm getting from this whole Taylor Swift rebrand that's happening. I mean, she initially came out on the scene as like, I mean, she wasn't a Disney person or anything, but it was like, let's put it this way. She was kind of like a Disney princess. And now she's coming as like a Disney villain. And I'm so here for it. I was never into the Disney princesses. I always loved the villains because, quite honestly, they're just so much more interesting. So in the same way, even though I'm not like a huge fan of like how the song was produced, because I thought the lyrics were interesting, but the song itself doesn't sound how I would have liked it to be honest, or it's not really doing it for me. The lyrics were interesting and the whole marketing and branding behind it is really interesting. So she's still managing to get my attention and even my respect just because this is so much more interesting. Getting to watch how she's going to turn this into something that's going to work for her and keep her on top is going to be fascinating, because clearly she has a maniacal obsession with being at the top and staying on top. Like, she's not going to let anyone finish her off so easily. I mean, she worked really hard to get to where she is. Again, her success was not an accident. There's so much strategy behind everything that she's done. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't even be surprised if she was just dating so many people just to get songs. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So she's put in a lot of herself into things. And she's, if you think about it, she's always, to a certain degree, been very open. But now she's just open about a different side of herself. And I think realistically, we all have different sides of us. We're not all, you know, exactly what we seem all the time. I mean, there's definitely, I think everybody kind of has their dark side a little bit. Can this all backfire? I think so. I mean, again, the song could have been better. And at the end of the day, if the song isn't good, if she's not making good music, then it doesn't really matter whatever everything else is. I mean, the best way to really stick it to everybody who's coming for her is to not only be open with who she is, but to also show her talent. This song was not doing it for me. It's a little bit too Disney pop sounding for me. I don't think it's something that's going to be taken seriously. Again, that's one song. Who knows what the rest of them sound like? But I think that there's a lot that we can learn from watching this. Like, think about in your own life if there was ever a moment, or if that moment is maybe right now, where shit just didn't work out for you. I think it's so much more proactive to switch your focus from, oh God, this is not what I wanted to happen. I totally look bad, or, you know, whatever it might be. Try to approach the situation that you're in right now from the perspective of, okay, what if I had chosen this outcome? What if this was actually what I wanted to happen? What would I do from here? For example, let's say you're going through a breakup, or you lost your job, or you didn't get into the school you wanted, or maybe something that was completely out of your control happened. Take a step back and tell yourself, all right, this isn't the ideal scenario, like on the surface from what it looks like right now. However, how can I make this work for me? How can I make not even the best of this, but how can I make this be like the thing that led to what I really want? Like, what if I had chosen for this to happen? I think it's so much more empowering to look at it from the perspective of, what am I free to do now? What am I free to try now? Instead of looking at it like, oh my God, this terrible thing happened. Now I can't do this. Because typically that's what happens. Something just doesn't go the way we planned. And we're like, oh great. Well, now it prevents us from doing this, that, and the other thing. And instead of thinking about what your limits are, think about what freedom you might have gotten now because of what's happened. So forget what you can't do. There's nothing you can do about what you can't do anymore, but there's still so much that you can do. For me, it's all about mindset. How you're thinking does affect how you feel and how you behave and how you pick yourself back up. You do get to choose how to view something. And the easiest way to like make that decision and make that choice is through the questions that you're asking yourself. All you have to do is just switch gears a bit and ask yourself better questions. For example, instead of thinking the, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Why me? This is the worst. I can't do this thing. I can't do that thing. Everything's awful. This ruins everything. Think about it instead like, okay, what can I learn from this? What am I free to consider now? Now that I know what my options aren't, I could focus on what my options are. What new direction can I actually go in? What am I choosing to, I forget who I had read this from, but there was a book that I was reading and someone mentioned that a lot of the time when we're worrying about stuff, it's typically because we're choosing to ignore like our blessings. Not consciously, we're not saying, let me just forget about like everything that's good in my life. I'm going to focus on, you know, what's all wrong or what could go wrong. But just like subconsciously, naturally, we kind of gravitate towards ignoring the things that we do have going for us and what we do still have and what we can still have the opportunity to work with. So it's really important that no matter what's going on, no matter what's happened, think about how you can make this work in your favor. You'll feel so much more energized that way. You'll feel so much braver, so much more confident to move forward. And at the end of the day, moving forward is what makes the difference. And the quicker you can get into the mindset of, okay, now what am I free to do? Now what are my options? Now that I know which direction isn't going to go so well, what door I can't necessarily go through, what's the new path? You know, what can I make of this? How can I really turn this into like this situation that might not have been the best? How can I take it and make it into something that can be the best thing? So if you're going through something difficult, it kind of like think about it this way. Sometimes like whenever I've gone through difficult things, as upset that it, as it can make me be, it kind of makes me think about, okay, how does this experience help me help other people not get into this kind of a situation? Which is basically one of the reasons why I create any of the content that I create, but especially the motivational type stuff, is just because I've gone through a number of things in my life and I'll continue to for sure, because that's just how life goes. But it kind of makes me feel like when I'm at least taking whatever my experiences have been and what I've been able to learn from them and share that with other people, it makes me feel like it's all worth it. So even when things don't really go as planned, I feel like I can still add meaning to my life just because I'm able to find ways to help other people do better in their own lives. Definitely think about things from a perspective that will make you feel energized and brave and confident to move forward. Because that's the key. You don't want to stay stuck and you don't want to regress, because if you stay stuck in a situation, if you stay stuck in a certain position, that's when you'll eventually start to regress. You don't really tend to get stuck and then suddenly move forward. It just doesn't really work like that. It's either you stay stuck forever and you start to regress, or you stay stuck for a little bit, you learn and move forward. Like you have to actually take action and do some kind of little bit of work to get yourself moving forward. Of course, a pause is good to kind of like recalibrate, but as long as you're really using that time to make the best decision to move forward. So if there's anything that I could see Taylor Swift's new rebrand can teach us, it's that, you know what? It really ain't over until you say it is. Whatever happens to you, own it, accept it, and figure out what you can learn from it. And think about how you can play whatever hand you've been dealt as if it's the hand that you wanted. Think about whatever is happening to you as it's kind of like, it's not the setback, it's the setup for what's actually going to be best for you. So obviously there's no proof, you know, because I'm as skeptical as they come too. So I, you know, when stuff happens, I'm like, well, maybe my life would have been better if it just went, if that thing worked out. You can't go by that. And if you continue going by that, it's just going to drive you crazy. It's going to keep you stuck. It's going to keep you miserable. And it's definitely not going to help you make your life any better. It's all about perspective and mindset. And that's what's going to make the difference, because there's always going to be things. Nobody's perfect. There's so many factors that are out of our control that we cannot help. So not everything is going to go exactly as planned. But what I've found in my own life is a lot of the times where things didn't work out as planned, eventually I end up looking back and being like, thank God that didn't work out, because look what happened instead, or look what that led to. I'm a big like connecting dots type of person, but again, you can't really connect the dots until way later, until you've actually seen the full the picture from a little bit of a distance. So no matter what happens, treat it as if it's better than what you thought you wanted, because that's the space where you can really focus on doing what's best for you. So think about whatever it is, whatever setback, and think about how it can actually be a setup and how you can use this to set yourself up for something better, more meaningful, more fulfilling, and something that would actually be good for you. So I think that's a good place to end this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope I gave you something to think about and chew on. Let me know what you thought. There's so many different ways you can contact me. You can use Instagram. You can tweet me. Just use the hashtag How Does She Do It, just so I know it's about the podcast. If you love the show so far, if you really like it, I'd so appreciate you rating and reviewing the podcast. Feel free to share it with your friends. As I said, there will be random goodies given to people when I get to 100 reviews. I have a bunch of stuff to give away. So to leave a rating, all you have to do is go to the podcast app, hit search, type in Jessica Harlow, my show will pop right up. And that's where you can easily rate and review from there. Again, I don't know why Apple makes it so difficult, but I would really appreciate you taking the minute to do that. I do plan on doing an advice episode in the near future. So I am going to be collecting questions and submissions. So if there's anything that you'd like my advice or input on, it doesn't really matter what the situation is. I'm open to all topics. Feel free to send me an email at podcast@jessicaharlow.com. If you want to be kept anonymous, that's perfectly okay. Just let me know in the email and I'll make sure to not give out your name or anything like that. Thank you all so much for tuning in. New episode every Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't, so that way you can be reminded when a new episode is up and it'll be ready for you to listen. Thanks again, and as always, I look forward to talking to you again very, very soon.